Welcome to Inside the Real Job with me, your host, Yanfu Chen. Get ready to explore the world of diverse careers while fascinating stories await. We'll delve into the pros and cons while witnessing ever-evolving industries. Join me as we connect with individuals from all walks of life, unveiling their secrets and navigating the dynamic world of work. Let's embark on this journey into the realm of real jobs. So Leanne, you mentioned potentially you wanted to be a high school teacher if being a physio didn't work out, but obviously it's worked out in your many years as a physiotherapist. So why don't you share us your journey? How did you become one?
I remember it very, very clearly. I was 14 years old. I was sitting in my lounge and we were watching a TV show about Australian Institute of Sport. And there were a few physios there and they were analysing somebody on a treadmill. And I don't know, I looked at them and I saw what they were doing and I just thought, that's what I want to do. And I just found the way to do it. So the year that I wanted to get into physiotherapy, the marks just went through the roof. The popularity was going up. So it went
because of that show?
Yeah, probably because of that show. Yeah, that's right. But I remember it jumped up to 96% and I didn't get that. So I did medical science at the University of Sydney, which was a 3-year degree. And then I had a friend actually who suggested I do that because they really wanted me to go into medicine, but it wasn't for me. From there, I transferred to physiotherapy. I did my first year in Sydney, then Queensland. And that was for two reasons. One, because of the last year being all hands-on, I wanted to get out there and do the work, but also they were just doing all the new study on core stabilization, but they were teaching us what they were researching,
right?
So I knew that I would be very employable and those skills are really worthwhile.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And going back to your 14-year-old self, do you remember what triggered?
I just love the way that they were analysing this athlete's body and the biomechanics. And that's what got me into physiotherapy. Like I could see what they were explaining. And so I knew that that was for me. I was just intrigued by it.
Yeah, right.
And so later on in my career, it became more about how much I could actually influence people's bodies and how much I could help people.
And did that curiosity just go through your whole time through uni?
Definitely. There were areas at uni, unlike people listening to this podcast, I didn't research physio enough. I didn't know all the areas of physio that I would need to do going through uni.
Can you give us an example?
I didn't know in the hospital setting doing percussion on people's chests after surgery. Make sure that their lungs were clear and they could get out of bed. I didn't see myself doing that at all. I didn't know that was going to have to be part of my process. But like I said, it helped me in later years when someone from the community walked in with an infection. But I didn't enjoy that part of uni. But it opened my eyes to the many areas.
So it didn't sway you to go...
It didn't sway me to go that way. No. I did at once and didn't want to... Yeah, I went straight from uni to private practice. Yeah.
Right. That's important to know. And how did you get your experience? When you say private practice, yeah. Is that just did it all in the one place or did you go to different places to do that to get your experience?
Yeah, so I had uni like placements, so the 6-week placements that we did throughout the whole year, and then I got a job on the Central Coast because I was at the University of Queensland. I came back down to the Central Coast and that was a small practice, but it was the best thing for me because it was a husband and wife, and the wife was a physio and the husband was a Pilates instructor, and he made his own reformers. And back then people didn't even really know what reformers were. Yeah. So he was doing reformer classes and we were doing the physio. So looking back, that's where I actually learnt most of my clinical Pilates work from that practice. And then I also used my degree to travel overseas. I worked in the UK as a physio and then in Germany as a physio, and they were all great experiences.
And with overseas in different countries, that would have been amazing. Did you have to get any new certification to be able to practice there?
When I did it, and I think it is still the same, to go to the UK, all I needed was a working visa. I didn't need to update any of my registrations or anything like that. And it was so easy. And it was just such a great way to see part of the world.
And did you learn anything new or different that you might not have learned in Australia, or you feel like there's always something new to learn no matter where you are?
Yeah, definitely. Something new to learn wherever you are. At the time, the UK was really wanted Australian physios. Australian and New Zealand physios are really well known and they were really seeking Australian physios. Right. So it was more that I was in demand over there.
Great.
So that was excellent.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I moved to the Northern Beaches. And I think when I went through uni, it was really drummed into us that you needed many years of experience. You needed to learn as much as you could before going out on your own. Although I was confident in my work, I still didn't think I had enough confidence to go out on my own. So I was probably working for other people for at least 10 years. And then I opened up the Inspire Physio and Pilates.
Amazing. And throughout your time, you feel like you're still learning something new every year?
It's different. I think that now when I do courses, it's not that they're refreshers. There's a new thing here or there. It's more that it's interesting the clients that are drawn to you when you're experienced. So it's more the challenge of the patient or the client gets harder. That's where I find the challenge now. Not so much learning. It's more about the conditions that I can treat.
Do you have one in mind where you feel like this is a challenge that I haven't experienced for a while, or can you walk us through that? What does that look like in helping that person?
Like two people just sprung to mind, and they were both people who had already been in pain for quite a few years and had already been through lots of different treatments. And when someone walks into your door and they've already been through a few years of pain, you've got to really gain their trust, and you've got to be their inspiration to think fresh, start fresh, and to know that there's a solution out there, and to be able to give them that solution after maybe being 3 years in pain or being told that they have to go to back surgery, being able to give them that solution, even within the first session, just giving them things that can help. Their face just lights up and you give them hope. That journey with them is just incredible.
Great. And talking about building that trust, building connection and giving them confidence and giving them something new because they've already had potentially bad experience or things that just weren't working. What are some of the attributes you need? Do you actually genuinely need to want to help people, I assume?
I think to stay in the profession for a long time, you've got to want to help people in this way, because we spoke about all the areas and all the different ways you can be a physio. And some people, it's not for them, face to face with people every single day, or they really enjoy it for, I think the average is about 5 years. People really, really enjoy that side of it.
Yeah.
And then they start to look for either changing direction or maybe going into the business side.
And what other attributes do you feel like you need, or particular skills to pursue a career in physio?
Got to really have a love of the human body and how it works, and a real interest in healing, because you can't be closed-minded. It's good to know that there's many, many things that can help somebody heal.
Yeah.
And even if you just stick to the very traditional side of it, it could be nutrition, just everything that can be involved with someone's health, the emotional side of injuries and all that sort of thing. So you've got to be open to everything.
That makes sense. And what is a stressful day look like? Have you got to a point sometimes you may not be able to help someone?
Yes, it happens, but normally it's just a matter of referring them and knowing where they need to go. So this just happened the other day. I had a friend, I haven't seen them, treated them specifically, but they sent me their scans and they said, I've had this pain for 3 months. And straight away, I just read the scans, realized there was a mistake in the report. So I said, you have to go get the report sorted out before I can even give you any advice. And then just hearing what they said about their condition, I just referred them to a sports doctor.
Right.
And they messaged me back. I said, I've got the appointment. I'm seeing them on Friday. They messaged me yesterday and just said, best referral ever. He said I was the perfect candidate for the treatment that he does, and they're going ahead with it.
How good's that?
So that feels just as good. It's still helping somebody. It's just helping them with advice and guiding them in the right direction. She may have had that pain for a lot longer had we not had that conversation.
Yeah, fantastic. And talking about referrals, is that something you just naturally build over time? Is it like a network or association that you commit to, or you register?
Being in my private practice, I'm just on my own, but some people will work within a clinic that has maybe a massage therapist or an acupuncturist and other people that they will refer to within the one practice. So for me, over time, I got to know the specialists in the area, the GPs in the area, and you just quickly know when you refer someone, the response that you get from, say, a sports physician or the GP, you'll know if there's somebody that you work with again by the way they handle the situation and the client.
Okay. And going back, is there any stressful challenges that you face throughout your career?
Definitely. For me, at this point in my career, one of the most stressful things can be just the demand and just not being able to fit everybody into your day that wants to be seen. But then it becomes a matter of knowing how to just direct them or even just calm them down. You know, sometimes it's just a phone call to say, okay, your rest, ice, compression, elevation, I can get you in on Monday. And then they're so thankful just for that advice, or come in and I'll just give you this brace to get you over the weekend. I can see you Monday. There's only so many hours in the day that you can fit people into.
Yeah, of course.
And everybody that calls you is important, and if somebody's in pain, then they want to be seen and they want to be heard, you know, right then. So it can be quite demanding. So having the right team around you as well, and knowing that there's ways that you can help people calm down or give advice over the phone, is a really good way to help manage that.
Yeah, for sure. And talking about demand, has demand gone up?
It's interesting. For me, definitely. And looking at different practices, the demand has gone up. I know with COVID, because it impacted so many people's lives, the local physios just got overwhelmed because people were going to work and maybe and getting physio near where they worked at lunchtime or something. But all of a sudden, they needed a physio local. And definitely, there is more awareness about the help that you can get. Somebody might roll their ankle and in the past have just ignored it. Now we know it's going to cause more problems down the road if they don't get it fully addressed. So you're getting a lot more people just listening to their body and going and seeking help.
A lot more people are more health conscious these days.
And understand what physios do. We're getting that one or two treatments than having problems down the road.
Yeah. And what about in 5-10 years time? What do you see your industry looking like? Is your role going to change itself? And what about the industry in general?
For me, having been in the industry for nearly 25 years and been the majority of that in private practice, I need to change my role now. I need it to be more online exercise programs and things like that, or mostly advice, just because physically it's something that I can't continue forever. But the profession as a whole is moving in that direction. Physios will become more people that you get advice from and referrals from and maybe diagnosed by. But I think that they'll be treating less and giving more exercise prescription and advice.
Right.
Yeah, I see that happening more and more.
Why do you think that is? Is it to future-proof the person? Because if they continue doing these exercises, they're building up more strength, I assume, for their particular injury, so then it's less occurring versus coming in to see you and get like one or two treatments and go, oh, I'm done, and not do anything.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both, but I think there's a big gap between exercising somebody who isn't injured and exercise for somebody who is. And physios know how to rehab somebody from injury to the gym setting or whatever it might be. And so you can't just go from being injured to a gym setting, too big a gap. And that gap's being filled more and more and more. It empowers the person that you're treating. It gives them something to do. And then they learn not only what to do to heal, but what to do to prevent the injury happening again.
Well, that's interesting. And what about, we've sort of mentioned earlier, science and technology. Do you see any future equipments that might impact your industry or your role?
Depending on the physio practice that you're in, you'll use a lot of equipment already. And it just depends if you find benefit or want to use that within your practice. I know that there's an osteoporosis gym that has all scientifically based equipment where you go in there and it's a very, very short period per week. It's resistance, and it's where the resistance is going through the bones and how it crosses the like different cross sections that it actually increases the bone density. And they're getting really, really good results. Impacting health that way is going to be really exciting.
Yeah, so it's more going to be beneficial for the consumer, because the technology is bringing things to help people recover quicker.
Absolutely.
But you're still going to need that physiotherapist to diagnose and make sure that this is the right treatment for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great. Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you have any final tips for those that want to pursue a career as a physio? So you mentioned about being open in terms of being curious. You wanted to learn. You got a really interest in the human body, the movements. What other tips have you got for people that really want to aspire to be the future physiotherapist?
Definitely research the many aspects of physio and pursue the one that makes you light up, the one that you're most interested in, the one you most feel most passionate about, and then find a mentor, meet people in the industry. And I mentioned it before, offer to volunteer at your local physio, work Saturdays on reception, maybe even go see a physio yourself for treatment and see what it's like to be on the other end and receive. And if you do that from different physios, you'll see how different practices can be and how many different ways you can receive treatment. Just see and experience as much as you can, and you'll see all the opportunities that this profession opens up to you.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, Leanne, thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
In this second episode with Leanne, what really stood out for me was the change in their responsibility as a physiotherapist. Leanne mentioned that in the future, physiotherapists would focus on less hands-on treatments and more specialize in providing advice to prevent and address pain. She also mentioned the importance of dedication and knowledge to handle diverse challenges, especially for those considering opening their own practice. Therefore, it was stressed that the value of gaining diverse experiences across various environments, like hospitals, sports fields, and private practices, was critical to prepare yourself for future success. Overall, the episode provided valuable insights for those that are aspiring to become physiotherapists. Thanks for tuning in, and make today a good news day.